Hey, good afternoon, Steve. Good to be on with you.
It's great to have you with us. And we'll start with Tim Banks. Your thoughts on the move to Knoxville to be the defensive coordinator?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of things that come immediately to mind. The first being that this is a guy who's called defenses before and had success at Penn State, working under and with Brent Pry for the last handful of seasons. So I don't think it's a shock that, you know, at some point he was going to want to call plays again and be a defensive coordinator again. And, you know, it just so happened to be that whether or not he had opportunities other than this Tennessee one in this coaching cycle, you know, we don't know. But they certainly needed someone to be able to come in who could not only recruit and work, you know, in the SEC as a recruiter and a coach, but also, you know, it seemed like they were having a little bit of trouble finding someone to begin with. So, you know, with Tim Banks, you get a guy who's experienced, you know, obviously has called plays at a number of different schools and put safeties and defensive backs into the NFL at Penn State and helped coordinate some pretty good defenses here, albeit ones that at times had trouble with the pass. But, yeah, all told, I think it makes sense for both sides. And for Penn State, you know, it's another instance of a guy leaving James Franklin's staff for a promotion elsewhere. So I think that's obviously a selling point that they can use, too, as they look to find a replacement at you know, a time that's not exactly ideal to be looking for another coach, but it's the hand that Penn State's been dealt. And if we know anything about James Franklin, he probably had a plan in place the second he found out right. This was happening.
Exactly. This staff has a lot of really good recruiters on it. What kind of recruiter was Tim Banks, in your opinion?
Well, I think you just have to take a look at what he was able to do in the Midwest and specifically Michigan, of course, where he's from.
Yes.
I mean, he developed very good inroads there that Penn State will still be able to capitalize, albeit not as easily as when he was here. But, you know, he really put, and, you know, with the help of some guys also from Michigan, you know, you think back to certainly impacts were made by what Allen Robinson did at Penn State, KJ Hamler to an extent, Anthony Zettel, you know, there's some others too that came to Penn State from Michigan and showed kids there of all ages that Penn State was a place you could go to and have success. So certainly he's opened up doorways there for them that now whoever takes over that territory on James Franklin's staff is going to have to try. And, you know, not, I don't want to say win back those kids and those coaches, but, you know, they all knew Banks very well. They trusted Banks. And we know that multiple members of a staff recruit players all over the country. So we know that other members of the staff were in touch with guys out there, but still not always the same right off the bat. So, you know, they'll have some work to do there. But he was a good recruiter. He got some good players, especially this past year, in from Michigan and from the Midwest. And now I'm sure he'll try and target some of these guys down in Tennessee, too, while, you know, working with air and what the new coach and staff have, you know, bring to the table as well. So certainly a guy who they'll miss. But, you know, at the same time, obviously, again, the fact that they have so many guys recruiting kids at one time helps when these things happen.
All right, so the dead period extended as well. How frustrating is this getting for all sides that you just can't, that it has to continue this way? And what has it meant for verbal commitments?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously all sides of the equation are pretty frustrated with it at this point. You know, the coaches, I'm sure, want to have kids back on campus, especially at a place like Penn State. You know, at the same time, I don't know if they're as heartbroken about it because now they can focus fully on spring practice. And, you know, it's not like they're going to completely stop recruiting, but you won't have kids on campus during that very important development time. So, you know, I'm sure they're bummed, but maybe not totally heartbroken about it. The prospects, on the other hand, I'm sure, are looking at this and saying, you know, as sophomores last year, we weren't able to go visit anywhere for the most part. And we had a very short window to do that. Obviously they lost most of last year, as did the class of 2021. And I think that, you know, these kids and families probably assume that by spring of this year that they have a chance to, you know, go see some stuff and go take a look at, you know, go take a look at different campuses during spring practice or spring games. And that doesn't appear like it's going to be the case. So I'm sure they're very frustrated at this point. And, you know, whether it's, you know, now it sounds like Memorial Day could be the time when visits are allowed again. And will that mean that the annual July dead period is knocked out? You know, we'll see. But it's going to get frantic for sure whenever that happens, you know. And I think a lot of kids will wait to commit. Now, obviously, Penn State has seven already. But I just wonder how many kids are going to want to, you know, one of two things are going to happen. Either we'll see what happened last year when all the visits were canceled and we saw one of the greatest recruiting commitment surges that, you know, anyone's ever seen between the, you know, the time of the shutdown and the start of summer, or it'll be the opposite and guys will really slow down and say, I'm not committing anywhere until I can take my visit. So it'll be one or the other for sure. And the quicker the NCAA can get all that figured out, and obviously the member schools will be driving that decision, the better, because that way everyone can start planning for what's to come down the road.
Yeah, we've talked about the average star ranking of the Penn State class, which is comparable to recent classes. You know, and when you have 16, you're not going to rack up the points along the way that gets you into a top 10 because you only have 16 recruits. How do you start looking at classes, Greg, when you then factor in now transfers? Because now they become part of that new group as well. Do we have to start looking at this in a different way than we have in the past?
Yeah, I think to an extent that's certainly a part of the conversation now. And the biggest factor is, if you've missed at a position, did you find a way to overcome that miss or fill that hole through the transfer portal? So running back, I think, is a great example. You know, Penn State did not sign a running back in the class. The last class that just signed, they had one look at it with Deshaun Morrell late in the process, and he ended up recommitting to UCLA. So you look at it and say, you know, they maybe didn't need a running back. Perhaps they need two in this class now that currently is rolling along. But you know what? They go and get John Levitt. They get a veteran guy to come in. He has something he wants to prove during his last season. Obviously, Penn State's returning running backs all want to vie for the starting role. And so you didn't get a guy who has, you know, multiple years of eligibility left, but you did get a guy who comes in and gives you something you can work with right out of the chute from day one, be that as a starter or the number two guy, the number three guy, a special teamer, a returner, you know, whatever role he ends up earning. And so, you know, you look at it and say, well, Penn State didn't get any high school kid in this class, but did they fill their need this year at running back? And I'd be hard-pressed to say that the answer isn't yes. So, yeah, I do think that there will certainly be times when you can look at a hole or look at a problem area in a recruiting class and then look at the transfer situation and say, yeah, maybe they didn't do so bad there. But at the same time, you know, there are also instances where a position of need is a position of need. And if you don't fill it, you don't fill it. Or if you only fill it with one or two guys, then obviously, you know, it is not helpful necessarily for down the road unless you overcommit to it in the next cycle or next two cycles. So, yeah, it'll play a role for absolutely, Steve.
All right, so now let's take it a step further. You've looked at Penn State's recruiting class, which we've discussed. So let's keep it on the transfer part. Do you feel Penn State truly helped itself with the transfers they brought in?
Yeah, it's hard to look at it any other way. I mean, when you look at the the guys who are already on campus, plus Eric Wilson, the Harvard 2019 second team All-Ivy League pick, who they are expecting he'll be on campus later this year. Yeah, it's hard to see otherwise. I mean, I think with Derek Tangelo, the tackle, and Arnold Ebiketie, the end, you have two guys who come in and have every reason to be starters from the first year that they are on campus. Obviously, Lovett has been very good at times over the course of his Baylor career, and there's still reason to think he can't factor in right away. And with John Dixon, you add numbers in your corner room that could allow you to move a corner to safety or do some other different things back there. So they didn't get, you know, when they added guys out of the portal in the past, outside of maybe of Jordan Stout, you know, you couldn't really, it would be hard, you'd be really hard pressed to try and convince somebody that the guys that they brought in could absolutely surefire be starters the first year they're on campus.
Right.
Stout, obviously, the lone exception. Now you have four guys, at least, and maybe five, who you feel pretty good about at minimum being a rotation guy on Saturday, and not just any Saturday, but that first Saturday you head to Wisconsin. So, yeah, there's really no other way to look at it that you know, beyond the one that says they helped themselves pretty well so far. And there's obviously going to be more opportunities, both to have guys come in maybe after spring practice, and you could lose some guys too. So the book's not shut on that evaluation just yet, but again, so far so good.
Not sure if I asked you about Mike Yurcich yet. So what were your thoughts on that, and what is the indication you're getting from recruits that you talked to about the hire?
Yeah, I mean, the one that I think, you know, most people have heard from this point, Bo Pribula, who kind of from down our way, a little bit further south, but Central York quarterback, Penn State commit, and a guy who has been in this class for quite a while, and he seems to have a good working relationship with your decision. The offensive players in this class seem excited about the system he brings to town. So now it's about seeing it in action, right? So I think we all know that he can recruit and he can develop quarterbacks and he can put an offense on the field that puts up a lot of points and puts up a lot of yards and keeps your defense off the field by at times going through a lot of plays, and he can speed it up too. So, I mean, all the boxes are checked, and I think, you know, I probably have a similar viewpoint to many, which is that you just want to see it at this point. I mean, yeah. We could have sang all the praises of Kirk Sciacca's offense last year too, and there were times that what he did at Minnesota and what he did at Penn State looked the same, and you could see kind of where the idea was. Then there were times where it maybe wasn't as clear. So I think a lot of people who follow this team, either for work or for pleasure or whatever, they're excited about what you can see from Yursich's past, but obviously we won't know as much about it as we could until we see it on the field in the fall.
Greg, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time as always.
Always a pleasure, Steve. Talk to you guys soon.